It's the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on this Friday all across the great state of Michigan. Deep purple here. Ian Gillen with a birthday today. And he is 77 years old. Deep Purple big hit Smoke on the Water, Highway Star, and more. He's the singer, one of the main songwriters there too for Deep Purple. Ian Gillen turns 77 years old today. Scott Bertram in for Steve. Erica Sanzi is with us. She is Director of Outreach for Parents Defending Education. New op-ed at WashingtonExaminer.com. How many ways can the education system fail families? Erica, thanks so much for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what's the answer to that musical question? How many ways can the education system fail families? Can you need one hand, two hands? You need your feet?
The number is growing. And it's not because the public school system doesn't work for anyone, because, of course, it does. I have a son who's in it. The reality is that a one-size-fits-all system like the one we have, based on residential address, can never serve everybody well. And that was always true. But the pandemic has revealed that it is just not working for way too many families. And that the trust that was there has been absolutely eroded for a huge swath of parents across the country.
This does seem to be a moment in which a movement which has been building for years and has had success in many areas like Florida, Indiana, some parts of Michigan and Milwaukee and elsewhere. This push for more parent choice at education can capitalize on this moment. What needs to be done to make that happen?
Well, we're definitely already seeing that. I think during the height of the pandemic, 21 states had pending legislation and had passed, I think, some form of school choice legislation. Just in the past couple of weeks, we saw Arizona pass the most universal school choice expansion bill ever, which essentially has no limits on it. And Florida, I would say, is a close second to Arizona. So, but the reality is that this cannot happen. Like, I live in a state, for example, where it's just completely run by one party. And because that party happens to be Democrats, there's almost no chance this could happen where I live, because the union grip on the elected officials is just way too strong. So I do think that in order for this to happen in other places, it has to be done by people voting on this issue. So, if people may say to themselves, yeah, there's a lot of things I care about, but at this moment in time, education is the most important issue to me. I believe in educational freedom for people. I do not believe that your residential address determines where you go to school, and I'm going to vote accordingly.
What's the baseline for the amount of choice that a parent should have in his or her child's education? You might not be able to get the same sort of policies approved, as you mentioned, in California or Illinois or New York than you would in Arizona or Florida. What's the baseline parents in certain states should be pushing for parents?
That's a really good question, and I don't even consider myself enough of an expert necessarily to answer that. But I do think that there's got to be some money that follows the child regardless of where they go to school. And that needs to mean that whether it's, that it gives them $5,000 to put towards the parochial education at the elementary level, it needs to mean that if they decide that, that their child is really struggling in reading and their school district just offers nothing in terms of teaching a dyslexic child how to read, they need to be able to access dollars, their taxpayer dollars, to bring in a reading interventionist that knows what they're doing. And even for materials, so there's got to be something. I think at the moment, the problem is that it's the demand is coming, or always was coming, mostly from the lowest income families in the United States. They are the ones that are consigned to schools that have been failing for generations, but because they lack the means, they're the ones who have no options.
Erica Sanzi is with us, Director of Outreach for Parents Defending Education. That's defendinged.org, defendinged.org. In your piece, you note that California's K-12 system has lost 271,000 students in spring of 2020. I know schools in New York City have experienced the same sort of decline. Chicago public schools have experienced the same sort of decline, with parents well, taking it upon themselves to choose, but in this case, either move or send children to private schools. Does this expedite the process and expedite and put more pressure on politicians in those particular states to make changes?
Well, you would think it would, right? I mean, I would think that as you hemorrhage students, you would begin to rethink the fact that you're trapping kids in schools that their parents do not want. But at the moment, we're not seeing that. In fact, what we're sort of seeing are particularly the unions, really just doubling down and demonizing parents. And pretending that suddenly, you know, that a culture war has emerged that has nothing to do with what they've been doing for the past two decades. So it's hard to say. Speaking from where I am, because there were promises to hold districts harmless, even if they lost students, this was part of the whole pandemic thing.
Yep.
I think that's actually been that was a bad decision, because that essentially says to districts, even if people are so disgusted by your product that they leave in droves, you're not going to pay any penalty. We, the government, we're going to bail you out. And so I think that is one reason why in Los Angeles, they have lost students that they can't even account for. They have no idea where these children are.
Erica Sanzi is Director of Outreach for Parents Defending Education. Again, you can find more of their work online at defendinged.org, defendinged.org, and this piece at The Examiner. How many ways can the education system fail families? Too many to count. WashingtonExaminer.com. Erica, thank you so much for jumping on this morning, joining us here on The Steve Gruber Show.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Jim Scarantino is coming up after the bottom of the hour. The story from Port Townsend Free Press. He's the editor there following the story of the 80-year-old woman who was being harassed. Scott Bertram at